The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerate.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Degenerates975, at Aaron is Blitzed. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you missed the first hour, a lot of draft talk and a little update on what the governor is planning for our state in this Rona mess. A couple of follow-up things. We were just talking about teams that had interesting drafts. The Carolina Panthers entire draft was defense. And yeah. I don't think there were bad picks there, but I think that's the first time that's ever happened.
First time on defense. There has been an all-offense draft. I don't remember which team it was, but I looked that up this week on Saturday after it happened, and there was one other time where a team's used all their picks on one side of the ball, but it was on offense. So, yeah, first time ever that a team's gone all defense in the draft.
And the Denver Broncos didn't go all offense, but they sure loaded up at the top with offense. And getting Jerry Jeudy where they got him, I thought was a great pick. KJ Hamler is going to be an interesting addition. So at least they're doing their best to put some weapons around Drew Lock.
Yeah, I think my issue with the Broncos, and you're right, they did put in some work on that offensive side of the ball. I guess my problem with it is, I think you're putting a bunch of bells and whistles on something that's got Drew Lock at the helm. I don't buy into it. I just don't trust that dude as a quarterback.
Yeah, I think the way they finished the season with him winning 4 out of 5 games was a little bit of fool's gold. But, you know, we'll see. But I do like that they at least gave him some weapons. I think next year you're going to see him and Gardner Minshew both turn back into pumpkins, and the Broncos are going to have to get a quarterback. And then we were talking about the Saints a little bit. Saints Patrick said they took quarterback in the 7th in case they weren't able to get Taysom Hill extended, but they ended up getting that done yesterday. And they also signed Jameis Winston.
Yep.
So, and man, they're paying Taysom Hill a lot of money to be a special teams guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not just a special teams guy. I mean, there is a value to Taysom Hill that is not a quarterback, but is not necessarily at special teams either. So, I see what they're doing there. I think that he's a nice package player, but you're right. That's a lot of money for that dude.
But yeah, interesting place for Winston to land as well, because I think it'll benefit him being with Sean Payton, and you know, maybe that's a maybe that is a guy that can, you know, replace Drew Brees. We'll see.
I do too. I also think that Winston needed to be somewhere where. And really, Cam Newton needs the same thing. They need to be places where it's known that they're the backup.
Yeah.
I mean, and really, what's left for Cam Newton as far as starting jobs, I don't really know if there's one out there. It's pretty clear that New England is happy going with Jarrett Stidham. And I think part of it is New England knows that they're not a Super Bowl contender this year. So you might as well see what you've got with him, which to me, it makes sense. And if it was anyone other than New England, we wouldn't even be arguing it. But I think with Cam and Jameis, since they're clearly not going to be starters, they need to be places. They can't be in a place where there's a competition or there will be people calling for them to take that job. They need to be behind solidified, established number one quarterbacks at this point. Jameis, because I don't think Jameis is a starting caliber quarterback anymore. Cam, I don't know. I feel like he could be, but there's just not a spot for him at this point.
Well, we talked about that. When all the musical chairs stopped on the quarterbacks, there might not be enough jobs. Now, where I could see him, like we were talking about the Broncos, and they're apparently sold on Drew Lock, but that's a place where yeah, if you bring him in and Drew Lock doesn't play well, he's going to wind up – that's going to cause an issue. If I'm Washington, I take a look at the guy because I don't know that I'm sold on what I have there. But the situation you're talking about, probably Pittsburgh. And I think that
Pittsburgh's
might be
a good spot
fit
for him. That is a good spot for him. And that's a guy – that's a place where – I mean, you saw last year the importance of a backup quarterback. If they had a healthy Cam Newton as a backup quarterback last year, that's a playoff team.
Oh, no doubt. And I think – you know, and again, I don't know how healthy he is, but if he's right – then, you know, Ben's getting up there. Ben's fat. Ben could easily get hurt again. And you've got a good enough team there that you could be very, very competitive if you have the right quarterback. And I think that would be a good spot. I still think he's a starting quarterback in the league. I think he's better than a lot of these guys. But for whatever reason, teams have decided to go in a different direction.
I also don't know if Cam is willing to take a spot where he doesn't have the chance to be the starter. Because another place where I thought about him maybe being a good fit was Baltimore. And, like, you go in, you know, hey, and I guess they've got RG3 who's, I guess he's serviceable as a backup. But you say, listen, Lamar Jackson's obviously the guy. You're here for insurance. If Cam's willing to do that, maybe Baltimore's a good fit for him.
Well, I do think it would be. I also feel like if I'm Cam Newton – you know, I feel like I should be a starter in this league somewhere. And if it's not there, then maybe you wait until camp's open and somebody blows a knee and you get signed then. You know, and I think...
In the words of Marcellus Wallace, that's pride effing with you. You take that back quarterback check, and then you show out when you get your chance.
Yeah, but this... he's a former MVP. He's not Jameis Winston. I mean, he's had a lot of success in this league, and... I mean, again, though, we just don't know about the health. And then I wanted to, Tyler says Chase Claypool is the fourth best wide receiver in this year's draft. The Steelers got a steal in him.
Okay, I don't like him.
Well, I'll tell you this. I trust the way the Steelers draft wide receivers, but I want no part of a Notre Dame guy unless he's an offensive lineman or maybe a linebacker. Because how many of those guys, when they get to the league, disappoint? It's just like, to me, it's like USC receivers. Not a single one ever lives up to their billing. Marquise Lee probably came the closest. So just there's certain schools that I just don't want their players unless they play a certain position. And wide receiver, that's a big one at Notre Dame that I just don't trust those guys. Somebody asked, the Chargers really confident on starting Taylor, maybe sign a one-year prove-it deal while Herbert takes a year to learn. I think if you're the Chargers and you invested that high in Justin Herbert, you expect him to be starting by the end of the year.
Yeah, or I mean, they did say, or you're not planning on contending this year, and that's possible. But if
that's a talented team though,
it is. It seems like it's too good right now to not go with. But I think that we'll see. I think Tyrod Taylor starts the season, and if he runs into trouble, then you'll see them go to Herbert. But yeah, I don't think it's a fit to have. You know, a third guy in that mix.
Nick says Robert Woods is pretty good, but he's about what you thought he would be. None of those guys have ever come out and been elite wide receivers. They've been pretty good. And they're all five-star recruits. They all played well in college. And I don't know what it is. I don't. But it's like it used to be with air raid quarterbacks. At some point, one of these guys will hit. Maybe it'll be the guy the Colts drafted. But if I'm drafting a team, I'm staying away from those guys. And, you know, just – and I mean, I can't explain it. If I could, then it would be a lot easier to determine who's going to be good and who's not. But
– what about Keyshawn Johnson? You hating on him too?
Man, you're going back an awful long way with Keyshawn.
What about Lynn Swan? How about that?
He was pretty good.
What about Gifford, Fred? Yeah.
It's Notre Dame. Somebody said Notre Dame's produced some solid tight ends. Yeah. I mean, they have. But, I mean, I don't trust their skill guys when they get to the league. Quarterbacks, how Brady Quinn work out.
What's funny is Michael Pittman getting drafted by the Colts. I was like, I don't know, because I want to like Michael Pittman, but that is what kept me from going, yeah, I like that pick because – Boy, it's hard to find USC receivers that have
somebody mentioned Juju, and yeah, he's been pretty damn good for them. I mean, but for the most part, there's a whole long list of those cats that just don't work out. So,
Lamont says, if Cam was smart, you'll pimp the Kaepernick model. Okay, forgive me for even bringing it up. Someone said, someone brought his name up, like Kaepernick's name up with Cam Newton, like it's the same thing. And I'm like, dude, Cam is a guy right now, it doesn't make sense that a team hasn't taken a look at him. Like, Cam's played well enough recently enough that it makes sense. Kaepernick's so far removed that his name shouldn't even come up anymore about possible jobs.
You know where else I might could see him going? Dallas. Going and back up Dakota. And
I don't think it's a bad idea. And it gives you, if he play, if for some reason, you know, you don't end up signing Dak long term, there's no, oh, well, where are they going to turn without Dak? I mean, he's in-house.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I still think at some point, if I'm him, I just wait. And if you get to training camp and Phillip Rivers blows a knee or something like that, then you jump in and sign then when you can get a starting job. But or you know, the problem is if you wait into the season and these teams figure out, oh, wait a minute, we've got a donkey, a quarterback, by the time you bring him in, your season's probably dead. So, somebody asked about the Bucs draft, what you thought of that.
You know, the Bucs are a team that I've kind of the hype has gotten so out of whack on them that I'm taking everything Bucs with a grain of salt. I do like Tristan Wirfs. I like that they were able to get him. It's clearly filled a big need. And I think Antoine Winfield Jr., and obviously I'm a fan of his dad, I think he's a player. Beyond that, I don't know. Like Keyshawn Vaughn from Vanderbilt, I'm not crazy about. I wasn't crazy about Tyler Johnson. I forget who the defensive tackle from Nebraska or Nebraska or Wisconsin, somewhere that they took. But I wasn't crazy about all their draft. I like, much like the Texans, I like their first couple picks.
Yeah, I think Wirfs is a safe pick. I don't know that he has as big a ceiling as some of these other guys, but I think he'll play and play at an okay level. I'm not really – I didn't like Keyshawn Vaughn, and I did like Winfield as well. But, yeah, I think the hype train on them is going to be huge because of Brady.
Yep.
So we shall see. All right, let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, be happy to take some phone calls. And, I was looking at USC receivers, and Juju's probably the gold standard. I mean, Nelson Aguilar, Marquise Lee's been okay. Robert Woods has been okay, but those guys were, you know.
Robert Woods has been good. It just took him a while to develop into good.
Yeah, but there's also been a lot of guys, Patrick Turners and people like that, that were supposed to be good, and you know, Dwayne Jarrett.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of those kind of guys. So, anyway, we got plenty more draft to talk because we're going to have Lance today, correct?
Should.
Yes, we are.
So, did you see what Kobos tweeted at you?
No.
Listening to the podcast, not one mention that you finally made it to Kobos, hashtag.
It was. I did make it out there. I mentioned it. It was my first time getting out there.
Yeah, and I will definitely be getting out there here in the next 2 weeks. That is a Fred Fowler guarantee.
So, okay.
I'm just letting you know, I will be making the road trip at some
point. Got a nice little setup there, man. It ain't some crummy old food truck. He's got it going on.
Well, we know the food's fantastic. But,
oh, yes.
I have had the food plenty of times, thanks to him bringing it to us. But I will, I'll be out there. I'm definitely going to get out there in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to try to support people who've been doing good things like they are. And I also want to try that Freddy's Hamburgers. I heard them advertising with us, and I've heard good things. I've never been. So I'm going to support people who are doing good things, and I'm going to support people who are advertising with us. And make sure I get out and do some of that over the next couple of weeks. Somebody said my coworker and I had an argument today over if Watson deserved money on par with Mahomes when they both get paid. You know, I think
deserves. There's a pretty simple answer to that. No one deserves the same money as Patrick Mahomes. And really, the only person in my mind who's in the conversation is Russell Wilson, because I still think Russell Wilson has one solid contract of elite play left in him. Everybody else, you're either paying what they've done in the past, or you're hoping that they take a big jump in production. Because let's face it, for Deshaun Watson to be in the same conversation as Patrick Mahomes, it would take a serious jump in production.
Yeah, and I mean, that may happen, but
it might. But you'd rather pay that. I mean, you don't want to pay it and then it not happen either.
So I am of the opinion, and that I would not start talking extension with Deshaun Watson just yet. I would wait until the end of next season, because worst case scenario, you've got him for another year after that. You can franchise him, so you'd have him for another 2 years. And I will wait and see what Mahomes gets, because I think that should set the bar, and I don't think anybody should go over that bar, in my opinion. I mean, I think and you know, we've had this discussion many times. I think if you put Watson on the Chiefs, he puts up MVP numbers because
he's not on the Chiefs.
But he's not, and that's and I think, you know, Mahomes would still be really good wherever you put him, but I don't think Pat Mahomes would be the same guy on the Browns.
Nope.
I'm not sure Deshaun would be the same guy on the Browns. It just is, so much of it is where you wind up, and I think he's in a perfect spot, and I just love that the Chiefs took a running back in the first round at the end of the first round with Blair Edwards. That guy is going to add such another weapon to them. I mean, they're just going to be scary. I still think, and there was a pretty big gap between the Chiefs and the Ravens and everybody else, and I still feel that way going into next season. That doesn't mean somebody else might get on a run and get lucky at the right time. And then one of the tweets I wanted to get to earlier was, I can't remember who it was, that said, you guys keep saying you don't think they have the best talent in the division, yet they've got four division titles. And you know what? What I've said all along is I think they're on par with the Colts and the Titans. And all of those teams and the Jaguars have made it to an AFC championship game. It takes talent to do that.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, you can flip a coin four times and have it be heads four times. It doesn't mean that, you know, you flip it 100 times, it's going to be heads 99. That's not how probability works. I'm with you. I think all those teams are pretty damn close. So I think right now, if I had to pick one roster, it's probably the Colts. But I also think, you know, the longer they're with them, I like the Colts coaching staff better than I like the Texans. At this point, I like the Titans coaching staff, even though I was a big detractor of Mike Vrabel. Pretty obvious this guy knows what he's doing.
Well, let's see how he is calling plays on defense this year, because that did not go well in his one season as a defensive coordinator. So I'm a little skeptical of that. But, I mean, I think while they're constructed differently, the one advantage and the one reason I would take the Texans is because I know they have a quarterback I can win with.
Yeah.
And that's the,
well,
the advantage.
You know, they have a quarterback you can win a division with.
Right. And I mean, apparently that's your standard.
That's the standard, yeah.
If you're going to tweet me that, so yeah. But they do have the best quarterback in the division, and that's always, you know. And if they had the best coach in the division, then I don't think it would be close. But they don't, and I'm not even sure that, yeah, I ranked the coaches last year, and I had Reich one. I think after what Vrabel accomplished last year, I think he's ahead of O'Brien now. Marone, I just don't know. And Lamont mentioned this. I think it would be he said Cam Newton would be perfect for Jacksonville. I agree. I don't know why they're in love with Gardner Minshew. I mean, I get that either. He's a cool cat.
I think they're going to regret that, certainly.
But I do think that there's, you know, I know they've kind of had an overhaul, but I thought they had a good draft. I think they still have some pretty decent players there. And if you add Cam to that team, I think they're better. Now, I don't think they're any more than an 8-8 team with Cam, but I don't know that they're anything more than, you know, 3-13 without him. But I could be wrong about Minshew. We'll see.
I don't think you are.
But
I also don't know I don't know if the Jags want to bring in Cam, because I don't know if the Jags are ready to start winning. Look at the rest of their roster. Look at they're trading off everybody that's got any value. It's pretty clear to me that they're looking to do like a full blown rebuild. What's it going to do to bring in a former MVP? Like, that doesn't fit the model that they seem to be following right now, does it?
No, it doesn't. And that's the thing. I think their ceiling with him is 8-8. Is that really worth, you know?
Right.
Is that worth trouble?
I'd rather be 2-14 than 8-8.
Well, because if you're 2-14, you're probably getting Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
And
this year, more than any other year, I'd rather be 2-14 than 8-8.
I would agree.
I'd rather be 0-16 than 8-8. Honestly, I'd rather be 0-16 this year. If I'm a quarterback-hungry team, I'd rather be 0-16 this year and guarantee myself him than be 9-7 and be the team that has to play the Chiefs in the wild card round or in the divisional round. I don't want anything to do with that. Or a team that's got to play in the wild card round with a chance to play the Chiefs in the divisional round.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for that.
Or the Ravens. Let's remember there's only one bye this year, and it's going to be one of those two if I were a betting man.
So you're going to have to play I'd rather be.
You might get one of those teams.
Yeah, I would rather be 0-16 than make the playoffs and have to play the Ravens in the first round and then still have to beat the Chiefs to make it to the Super Bowl. Especially if I'm a team like Jacksonville. It doesn't make any sense.
832 asked, would you say Mahomes had more potential coming out of college than Watson? I think everybody thought from his arm strength and all that he was more of a long-term project than Watson. But that he had more potential. But I think Watson was the more ready player coming out. So, all right, let's take a quick break. We'll have Lance Erline, hopefully, when we come back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And we've been talking a lot of draft today, so why don't we just talk to the guru, the genius of NFL Network, the best in the business, Lance Erline, who you can hear on the bench here every morning, Monday through Friday. What's going on, Lance?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you doing?
I heard that you had 98% accuracy your last mock draft compared to what actually happened in the draft. Is that true or false?
Mock draft. I'll tell you a little secret. Nobody really cares. It's funny. All those, you know, people call us draft nerds, but all those real Twitter nerds who complain about draft nerds, and their thing is always, your mock draft isn't even accurate. Nobody cares about that. Mock drafts are almost impossible to get because one thing can throw an entire draft off. All you're doing is trying to make predictions about the direction a team will go if the course lays a certain way. What club are you going to play? That's really all that is. That's all it is. I care much more about. Now, I like competing in the mock draft contest with the Huddle Report and the Top 100. If you want to go see how, a lot of people don't even realize this. This has been going on for years. If you go to thehuddlereport.com. You can see like 5-year aggregates on mock draft. They have a mock draft contest. They have a top 100 where you submit who you think the top 100 picks will be. Shea does it. I do it. Daniel Jeremiah does it. Mel Kiper. Just a ton of guys from the internet who have amateur scouting services and stuff like that. So I like that. But I get paid to try to analyze players and say what kind of player they are and what kind of player they'll be.
What people don't realize that mock draft, what you really should look for in a mock draft is the data on the players. It's really a way for people to get to know the players a little bit better and what kind of player a certain team might be looking for.
Yes, and that's what you're trying to predict. Like what I try to do, and I've learned a lot over the years about which players get pushed up and recognizing who could go earlier than expected, things like that. You really learn based on a certain type of player moves up the board. So it's, mock draft is really an exercise in trying to figure out who, at least I consider it this way, trying to figure out who could get moved up a draft board, maybe who the general public is not considering as someone who is a first rounder who's not being talked about, or conversely, somebody who is not a first rounder who's being put in there because that's the standard media take. And then what happens is, if the standard draft media has been putting a guy in the first round, throughout the college football season and into early January, then the narrative becomes that's the reality of where a guy is, when in reality, a lot of those guys really don't know. I mean, they haven't watched a lot of tape. Then they start to parrot each other and copycat, and then it becomes that's the narrative. That's how good that player is, when the reality is they're just way, way off. The Curtis Weaver. Remember Curtis Weaver from Boise State? People had him in January in the first round. I watched his tape, and I'm like, this guy's a fifth-rounder is what he is. He looks like a backup. And all of a sudden, the more people started to weigh in on it and things like that, he ended up actually going in the fifth round, although I thought he might go in the third or fourth based on his agent just trying to gas me up on him. Like, Ron, just don't do that anymore.
Who was the guy that went in the first round that maybe you didn't have anywhere near there?
Yeah, Damon Arnett, 19, to the Raiders. I thought, look, I heard Damon Arnett was getting pushed up, and I didn't like him as much from Ohio State. I didn't like his tape as much, but I heard there was a chance the Chiefs could take him at the back end of one. So I knew there was an outside shot, but I thought he would land. My projection was set 2-3. And then I was told by teams, no, put him in a second to be safe. He's going to go in the second. So I put him in the second. Well, then he ends up at 19 and ahead of A.J. Terrell. So that was clear. That was easily my biggest surprise of the first round. But the second one was, the second one was a big one too, and that was Noah Igbinoghene from Auburn, who went to the Miami Dolphins. That was a big surprise to me too. I know that he had the traits that a team might get squirrely about because he's, might get froggy about because he's got two Olympic sprinters for parents. He's super explosive as an athlete, but he is not a first-round talent right now. He just is a first-round athlete. But there's some teams that just love those kind of guys. So I thought there could be an outside shot, but when you actually hear his name in the first, I'm like, whew, I guess they don't care about holding penalties and pass interferences.
Was there a guy who lasted into the second, third round that you were like, how did this guy get down so far down the list? Who's that guy?
Yeah, Zach Bond from Wisconsin fell to the third to the Saints. Saints traded up for him at 74. There wasn't a medical on him that I know of. I know he had a diluted sample at the combine, but I think that was because he drank so much water trying to put on fake weight, is my guess, because he's a little bit of an undersized linebacker that – I don't think that's what – I think teams are just weren't sure if he's a small 3-4 outside linebacker, smallish, or if he is a 4-3 linebacker who's just learning to really play the position. So I think that hurt him a little bit. I still thought he had first-round talent. I thought he could go. As I got closer to the process, I realized he might last into the early second round. I was pretty blown away he lasted all the way to the third round when he has that much pass rush potential.
Lance, if you could.
Oh, go ahead.
Could you just go ahead and maybe give us a quick assessment on each of the Texans picks? I read your stuff on NFL.com, but for those who didn't.
Sure. So I'll start with the first pick. Ross Blacklock, I thought they drafted him about where I had him graded. I think that's a really good pick for them. They need help on the defensive line. I think the addition of Blacklock, he's a guy that can penetrate. He can get into the gaps. He's got a really fast lateral slide, which is hard for offensive linemen to stick with him. So as long as Anthony Weaver schemes him up, you know, to play in the gaps and not take blockers on, because that's not who he is. So you can run downhill on him if he tries to do that. But if you let him get in the gaps, he's extremely disruptive as a pass rusher and run defender. So as long as you let him play in the gaps, I really like Ross Blacklock. I think he can help the Texans. Next, Jonathan Greenard so he played at Louisville. He shattered his wrist early on in the season. I want to say it was against Clemson, but it was early on in the season at Louisville. So he missed the rest of that year. And then he graduated, took his graduate year to Florida, and really stepped up and played really well. He's a really high football character kid. He's very well liked inside their building. He's got really long arms, which I'm sure the Texans like. He was not a very explosive tester. I think he's a sound football player. I don't get excited about him as a pass rusher on the next level. I don't really think he's going to be a big-time pass rusher. But as a Sam, that's kind of a hit-or-miss position sometimes to find your pass rusher. So that's where they're going to play him. I think I'm not sure that he beats out Brennan Scarlett. Scarlett can stay healthy, and I'm really interested to see how Duke Ejiofor does when he comes back. I think people kind of forgot about Duke Ejiofor a little bit. So I don't know that Jonathan Greenard is going to help right away, and I think he's just going to be maybe average starter. Fourth round, Charlie Heck. I like what they did with Charlie Heck. I don't love that they traded up like that for Charlie Heck. I think he would have still been there. There was a guy named Terrell Burgess, who I liked a lot more, who plays corner and safety. I think he would have been great with the Texans. But I do recognize the fact that Roderick Johnson and the backup tackles have been terrible. And the Texans made a priority of going and finding a swing tackle who could play left or right. And that's why they coveted Charlie Heck. His dad's the line coach for the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Heck. His brother played with North Carolina. I wrote him up two or three drafts ago. I think Charlie Heck is going to be an upgrade as a swing tackle, but at the same time, it's a fourth-round pick who is meant to be a lifelong backup who can step in and you hope do a decent job if something happens to one of your starting tackles. The next guy, John Reeb.
Lance, can I stop you on him for just a second? Because there was a lot of talk about the Texans possibly taking a guard in this draft.
He can't play guard.
Yeah, he seems like a guy who can't, but I guess knowing that, I mean, is there any consideration that maybe Titus Howard plays some guard if they end up losing somebody at that position, they would move Howard in and then put Heck out on the outside?
No, honestly, AJ, I don't think so, because Titus Howard wasn't very good at guard last year. In preseason, I thought that Sharping, if you really want to know the truth, I think right now Sharping is a better player than Titus Howard. Now, I don't know that that's going to be the case long term, but Sharping really... He really fit that guard position exceptionally well. And I thought Titus Howard did a nice job, but I can't see them moving Titus Howard. Number one, Heck's not good enough, I don't think, to be a plus NFL starter where Titus Howard is. I would rather just wait for a free agent or wait for the draft next year to try to add a guard. Or even, you know, I mean, it's Bill O'Brien. Maybe you can offer up a second and third for somebody else's guard at some point in camp and overpay. I think that's always on the Vegas board, overpaying Bill O'Brien. By the way, I talked to a cap guy. I'll just give you guys this first, and then I'll have it on my show tomorrow. I talked to a cap guy. When Aaron called me, I was talking to a cap guy asking some questions about the compensatory picks, because I have to write it. They threw an article on my lap today that's due tomorrow, which I'm pretty excited about. And so I talked to a cap guy from an NFL team. I said, hey, while I've got you, tell me about what you think of what the Texans have done. And he said, okay, first of all, let me start with Randall Cobb's deal. He said there was no market for wide receivers in free agency because of how deep the draft was. He said Bill O'Brien gave a 3-year deal with 2 years guaranteed at $18 million. He said, anybody, he goes, they have, and this was this is a very interesting comment he made. He said, from what I understand, there were three different guys in the room, Kevin Krikarian or something, Kevin Kay, who took over for Chris Olsen, Jack Easterby, and Bill O'Brien. This guy said, these are three inexperienced shoppers when it comes to free agency and the free agent market. He said, typically, when you look at age, health, and then whatever your pro side will give a grade on a player, just like we do for drafts, only they do it for free agents. He said, you can look at age, health, performance, and come up with, and also, you know, priority need versus, you know, what's available in the draft. He said, and you have an idea of what the value of a contract would be. He said, it is very clear from all of the Texans' moves, and I heard this from agents, too. This is him talking. He said, I heard from agents that the Texans had very inexperienced guys in there shopping for contracts, inexperienced shoppers who didn't have an idea of what the value should be. He said, that Cobb contract should be a two-year deal with a one-year guarantee. They don't have any leverage on Cobb's side. He said, that's a two-year deal. You make it maybe $12 million a year guaranteed. And he said, and you only make it guaranteed for 1 year. And he said, Bill O'Brien's going to learn a valuable lesson next year, potentially, when he can't get rid of Cobb, can't get him off the roster next year. And he's stuck with a $9 million hit. So he made that comment. And then the Tunsil deal, he just said, that's just absolutely ridiculous that a deal was not done. No matter what Bill O'Brien, in his comment, no matter. And I said, well, Bill O'Brien claims that the Dolphins wouldn't let him negotiate. He said, you call the agent and you immediately start that conversation and say, we got a chance to move your guy and bring him in, and we want to make him the highest paid if he comes over, and we're willing to make him an $18.5 to $19 million a year player, because Lane Johnson's at 18. Instead, you had no leverage, and he gets over 20% higher than the highest paid tackle because the Texans just don't know what they're doing. So sorry about that aside. But when I heard that from an actual NFL cap guy, I was like, I guess it's everything I already knew anyway. But to hear him lay it out like that, it wasn't encouraging.
What about these last two guys? You know, it seems like, I mean, if they could have found an impact corner, I think it would have made sense. I don't know if they found an impact corner here with John Reed. And then Isaiah Coulter, I mean, with as many wide receivers as they have on the roster, how's he even make this roster?
So John Reed is a very twitchy, where Jonathan Greener did not have a big combine. John Reed did. John Reed's got really good short area quickness. He's got good speed. He's pretty good at staying sticky and man coverage from the slot. I know the Texans made a comment about him playing inside and outside, but he's not going to play outside. He's an inside slot corner. He'll probably play behind, my guess is he'll play behind Bradley Roby in the slot, unless Bradley Roby ends up playing outside, and then Reed will be in competition for, but I don't, once again, I don't expect that. I think Reed will be the fourth cornerback on this team. I had a team tell me they thought he was worthy of a third round pick, but talking to other teams, I had him slotted more like a fifth. Or fifth, sixth, based on, I liked him fine. I've got a backup grade of 5.9. But I was told that most teams thought he would go no earlier than the fifth. But there's so many compensatory picks this year in the third and fourth that, you know, you never know. So I hate nitpicking at that, because I know that they obviously had a fourth-round grade on him. And then Isaiah Coulter, who you mentioned, I actually think Isaiah Coulter, I'm writing an article that's going to be out on Friday for NFL, my favorite three picks of every round, and Coulter's going to be in it for the fifth round, because I think he gives you an insurance policy, maybe not this year, but I think by next year, he may become a factor for the Texans. He's got good size, good speed, and he has good upside. You'd love to get him in the sixth if you could, but getting him in the fifth is not the end of the world. I think he'll make a roster. It will be probably his wide receiver six, but that's okay. As long as he makes a roster and you develop him, I think Isaiah Coulter has some upside for the Texans to maybe shoot up and become a wide receiver three or wide receiver four. And that's not bad for a fifth rounder.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him every morning on the bench, the NFL.com draft guru. and our very own right here at Gal Media. Lance, great stuff, my man, and hopefully we'll see you at the poker table Saturday now that you're done with this draft.
Oh, I'm in now. Now it's on.
Yeah, it's our, well, we're doing our last one, so.
What? Why do we have to stop there?
Well, they're going to open everything back up, so.
Oh.
But we'll see.
Or
the plan is.
Are they? I consider poker essential, but we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're planning on this to be the last one, but there may be another one after that.
All right,
we are going to take a very quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Where I'm at. Mom ties, so I'm always good where I'm at. We're the Junior, Jazzy, Baby J.
You're listening to The Blitz, The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Just want to remind everybody, if you want a copy of the sequel to Jesus Just Left Chicago, hit me up on email, fowler975@gmail.com. I've already given away about 100 for free, just asking for $15, but if you can't pay it, don't worry about it. Just send me an email and just say I'd like a copy of the book. I'll give you the information, and if you want to put $15 in there, great. If you don't, it's okay. Just want people to have something to read. A good response to it so far from the people who've read it. So, and also, we will be doing one more charity poker tournament on Saturday. All the information is on SportsMap, and our own David Gow is going to match up to $975 of our donations this week. So be a one last chance to get in, maybe win some money and do some good. We've already raised over $5,000, and all the credit to Courtney and Jerry Bowe for all the work that they put into that. So there you go. There's some stuff for you. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day, it's the gem of the day, the Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
So we've been talking a lot about during the Rona how there's just some people you can't trust, and that's part of the problem why maybe it's not working to just lock everybody down. I don't know if you saw this, but Huntington Beach in California had thousands of people this weekend because the weather was nice, and my favorite was the house party in Chicago. Did you see this?
No.
Over 1,000 people showed up at a house party in Chicago. There's video from it. And the Chicago PD is now looking into it. I hope they put Vaughn on them. But, yeah, they said they're aware of a video circulating on social media depicting a large house party inside of an alleged Chicago residence. While we cannot authenticate the nature or location, we want to remind everyone of the social distance requirements in place. Who does that? Who's having a party? It's, all right, 1,000 people show up.
Yeah.
What the hell?
It's not wise, guys.
No, it's not.
Dumbass!
So for all the effort that everybody's putting into everything, there's people out there who just don't give a bleep. So that's today's Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
They had another one where a woman in Philadelphia has been charged with terroristic threats after spitting on a woman at a grocery store. Can we eliminate spitting on people from society?
That'd be cool.
I mean especially now.
I'm big time against it.
Yeah, I think in general. It's just... the lady said, I backed away from her. I guess that upset her. She just said, bitch, I don't have the disease. She bumped into me and said something along the lines of, that's rude. There's a pandemic going on. And then she responded, I'll fight you right now, and took off her mask and spit in my face.
I'll be honest. If someone spits in my face, especially right now, there's no conversation being had. Like, I'll go to jail, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I would just ask that. And I've only been out maybe twice in the last week, and there hasn't been any real problems with, not with me, but I've seen places where people keep getting too close to you. And even when it's clearly marked off in line, and just, I mean, these guys have gone to the trouble to show you where 6 feet is. Just stay 6 feet away from people.
It's not that hard.
I know it's not that hard, but it doesn't, you know, but people just don't, you know, they're I'm going to get right up behind you. And yeah, it hasn't happened to me yet. Cause I will say something.
No, I won't say anything. I'll just hit you. Oh, you mean if someone gets within 6 feet?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had that happen either. No, I thought I was still thinking about spitting. I will hit you if you spit on me.
Yeah, I agree. You spit on me, it's over. I may be old, but I will get the first punch in, that's for sure. But as far as just crowding the 6 feet, I will tell you to move. I mean, I got no problem doing that. But it hasn't happened to me yet. Anyway, well, we have a next segment if you want to do it. We've got all kinds of odds now that players have been drafted. Like on Defensive Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
All right.
MVP, all that. They're already out, believe it or not. They waste no time with these things.
They do not.
No, but we can do that next segment. A lot of other stuff to get to. I mean, I think we've covered the draft pretty well, but people still want to talk about that, you can hit us up. You know the number, 713-780-3776, or text us, or Facebook, or any of those things. And we can keep that going. But did you watch any of the are you still a day behind?
I'm a day behind. I got to watch it tonight. I could have watched it live, but I missed the beginning of 3, and then I didn't want to watch 4 without watching 3, so I said I'm just going to watch it tomorrow.
Yeah, we can talk about that tomorrow. The cool thing about it was there was a lot of Dennis Rodman.
Okay.
And I was always a big Rodman fan. And
yeah,
some
I
of
like
stuff
Rodman,
that
too.
Came out, yeah, some of the stuff that came out I didn't actually know, which was nice because most of it so far has just been rehash. But, you know, it's also really cool if you weren't familiar with those teams. All right, let's take a quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the world-class wrecking crew, I'm still at it after math.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.